Up and Adam for your Tuesday. It's Simo right here with you. Jordan on the other side of the desk. How's things?
Morning, Simo. How are you?
Yeah, trekking along relatively well. Headphone issues right now.
Oh, minor headphone issues, but nothing that we can not work around. Hey, Simo, I was walking to work this morning.
Yeah.
Something a bit weird happened to me. Has this ever happened to you? All right, so I don't have a massive beard, would you say?
No, you don't have a massive one.
It's more of a growth that I am too lazy to deal with.
Mm.
Anyway, as I was walking to work this morning, I felt something a bit peculiar, just sort of on my chin area. Kind of got my hand, as you would normally do, to kind of give the area a bit of a rub. Look down on my hand, and there's a massive ant.
Oh!
So somehow a massive ant has found its home in my beard.
You've just moved house, haven't you?
I have recently, yes.
Ant infestation?
I hope not. That wasn't said on the advertising.
Have you signed up, at least, long term?
Yeah, I've already signed.
All right, well, that's the future.
But Simo, this ant was huge. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. I kind of squashed it in between my fingers,
ooh,
threw it on the floor, and it just ran away. It was fine.
Oh, wow.
The ant was stronger than me.
Well, they are. They can lift, what is it, 8 times their body weight or something?
Yeah, but, I mean, I'd say I'm more than 8 times
stronger
the
than
body
an ant.
Weight of an ant.
Lauv on Snow FM Breakfast, thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of Kuma Toyota used cars. It's Simo right here with you and Jordan right here discussing chili and its effects.
Yes, Simo, spicy foods, which is something that both me and you are not a fan of.
Nope, I'm basic dishes. I go sweet chili sometimes, but the hot stuff, no, can't deal.
Fair enough. Well, a UK supermarket has released a barbecue sausage.
Oh, okay.
Which is so spicy, it's called the Hellfire sausage.
Okay.
Which anything called that is, it's going to be pretty spicy.
Have you noticed as well the different, like, chilies as well have those kind of names that are, that do belong in kind of supernatural narratives? Mm. So, like, what is the spiciest chili is called, like, I think it's called the Reaper?
Yeah, that's not, doesn't kind of bode confidence, does it?
No, it doesn't instill confidence at all.
What are you eating? Just a Reaper.
Yeah, exactly. This is a fruit. What is it? It's a fruit. It's a vegetable, right? Chili, or is it just a spice?
It's just hot. It should just have its own category.
It's hot. It's melted your brain so you can't even work out where it belongs.
I haven't even eaten it yet. But Simo, it's interesting you mentioned the Reaper.
Yeah.
Because I got some stats here. So this sausage is made out of 3 of the spiciest chilies in the world.
Right, so the Reaper would be in there.
The Carolina Reaper.
Oh, God.
Is one of them, as well as the Trinidad Scorpion.
Oh, yeah.
And the Naga Ghost, which all those 3 chilies sound absolutely terrifying.
They also sound like I'd want to set up, you know, those Twitter accounts, you know. What was the second one? There was Carolina Reaper, but I really liked the
Trinidad
second
one. Scorpion.
How good.
I know. That's going to be my new Twitter handle.
Yeah.
But Simo, I've got some stats for you because there is actually, I didn't realize this, but there is actually like a scale for measuring spiciness of chili.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you
know
this?
It's like the Richter scale for earthquakes.
Yeah. So it's called the Scoville unit, Scoville scale.
What was it?
Scoville.
Okay, right.
Am I saying that right?
No, I had no idea, mate.
Scoville.
It sounds good to me.
I'm just going
to
mumble through it and hope that it's right.
The Scoville scale.
It's called the Scoville scale.
Yeah.
So, Simo, to put this into context, Tabasco sauce, which is already very spicy, hits about 4,000 on this scale in question. A jalapeno chili hits about 5,000. The Carolina Reaper hits 1,569,300.
That's a little bit, it's a bit spicy.
That is, and that's just one of the chilies. The other two, the Trinidad Scorpion, it's a little bit lower. It's only 1,463,000.
Oof.
Before last but not least, the Naga Ghost is just a lazy 1,041,000. So it's like nothing.
It's the Naga Ghost?
Yeah.
So it's, but you can build up a tolerance. Is that how chili works?
I don't know. I'm not building up a tolerance. Hot air. Hot air. Very clever.
So how many?
I'm building up a tolerance by not eating them. That's how I build my tolerance.
Nelly,
you stay over there.
Oh. Do you think Nelly he'd be fine? I assume he's the king of hot.
What, just because he released the song saying it's getting hot in here?
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Do you reckon that's why that song was released? That would be a weird thing if you're reading that song's Wikipedia and it's like, Nelly wrote this song after reading the world's spiciest sausage.
Miley Cyrus, she's sliding away. You're on 97.7 Snow FM. Now broadcasting on DAB, digital radio in Canberra. So you can catch Snow FM breakfast. Thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of Kuma Toyota used cars in the capital. And she's still going, Jordan.
It's a very long outro.
Old mate,
hang
Miley
on, Simo, do you want to do the ooze? Here we go.
No, it's been
done.
Oh,
no, we finished the ooze.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, well, should I just finish playing my violin now? Or?
A lot of people have been saying ooh as Miley Cyrus's dating life has been covered rather well in the tabloids of late.
Oh, is there another twist
in that?
No,
there's like another one.
Let's not get into that.
There's too much.
We'll be here till next Wednesday.
Alrighty, so there has been some videos shared on social media which appear to show a female runner. We've confirmed it's not you. Female runner.
Yes, I mean, the fact that she's a female runner should confirm it enough that it's not me, but Simo thought that it may still be.
Look, you never know, and don't judge.
What was the name of the PR company again?
Sweaty Betty.
So this, whatever she did, I don't know what she did, but whatever she did happened out the front of Sweaty Betty's PR company. Do you reckon in Sydney there's just like a whole chain of PR companies just to do with like exercise and a names and a person's name?
Well, it's interesting.
There's like Perspiring Pete's.
Well, it's interesting that it's a runner and it's happened outside of Sweaty Betty as well, which is kind of ironic.
Fair enough.
The images apparently show the female runner taking a dump right outside the office. Now,
is
this,
that the technical term?
Yeah, I mean, there's...
You're a doctor.
Yeah. The PR company posted the clips where there's a blonde-haired lady. She's jogging along, clocks her favourite spot on the side of the pathway.
Favourite spot? So
yeah.
This has happened before?
Happened more than once. So she whips her pants down, gets it done. And in other videos, she can be seen doing early on the morning run on a Thursday, then after 6 a.m. on a Monday morning. So she's obviously got her life together to go for a run.
Yeah. Which is not to go to the toilet before she goes to a run. But what, so this happens, is this happening, what, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning? So admittedly, not ridiculously busy.
No.
But there are still people around.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, too ridiculous to think that someone may be walking past.
There's standards as well, right?
Does the video show her, like, looking around, or does she just make sure there's no one?
No.
Or does she just go straight in for it?
No details on that, just that she picks the same spot most mornings when she goes for a jog.
Interesting.
So yeah, apparently,
what is it about this spot? Do you know? Is it like, is there grass? Is there like, is it just between two parked cars?
Well, I'm thinking it might be like a disgruntled ex-employee
of Sweaty Betty.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
So, they like the person that owns that PR company, you might be familiar
well,
as
Betty.
Well. Well, Roxy, funnily enough. So she had her own TV show during Pilot Week on Channel 10, I reckon. So it's kind of like an iconic brand, if you were. So I'm thinking it might be someone that Roxy might have upset, and now it's doing the run.
They're just happy that her show on Pilot Week didn't get didn't get, you know, permitted for a full season.
But, I mean, have you... I'm not saying...
No, Simo, I have never... defecated in front of a PR company in Sydney, if that was the question you were going to ask.
But people often talk about taking, like, a dump on their boss's desk, right? If they're not happy in their jobs, right?
Has our boss at the radio station is leaving soon. It'd be a hilarious farewell prank.
She's listening this morning.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're definitely not going to do that. And, Renee, if you find one of them on your desk, it was Maddie.
It's all fine. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah. It's the wrong call.
Snow FM breakfast is thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of Kuma Toyota used cars, and Simo and a bit of a ledge, Jordan.
Yes, Simo, you say a bit of a ledge because I got the chance yesterday to become a bit of a ledge.
Yes.
Simo, let me tell you the story. Let me take you back to your school days. Back on lunchtime, you're playing soccer, shall we say, or football or some other form of ball sport.
Yeah, yep. That checks out.
Yeah, you did this.
Handball.
Oh, handball.
Yeah. More technical and working in tight spaces because, you know, I grew up in the streets, basically.
Yeah, the streets of the Adelaide Hills.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Simo, did the ball ever kind of go over the fence and out of the schoolyard?
Over the fence was more of an issue in my own backyard, but have lived this in what? Regards to kicking a ball over a fence.
So it does happen every now and again at school. I remember when it happened back in my school.
Right.
Whenever the ball went over the fence, you'd always kind of, there'd be about 20 kids kind of pushed up against the fence, just looking for a passerby to go and get the ball and throw it back. Because you're not allowed outside school grounds.
Exactly.
Some people would try and would like go and get the ball and throw it back. Some just walked past. Those people. Terrible people. But Simo, I got the chance yesterday. On my way home from the shops, I was walking past the school, and there, sitting in the gutter on the other side of the road, was a soccer ball.
Now,
this wasn't lunchtime, I should say. So there were no kids around. So I did think about just A, stealing the ball.
Yep.
Or B, just leaving it there.
Yep.
But no, I kind of thought, no, it's obviously come from there.
Yep.
So I kind of picked it up, threw it back over the fence.
Mm.
But I remember back in my school days, if ever someone would throw it over the fence, they'd get a big cheer from all the kids. Especially because my school wasn't in the mean streets of the Adelaide Hills.
So did you just stand there and wait for lunchtime before you threw the ball back?
Well, lunchtime had already been, so okay. I was kind of going to be waiting there for a long time.
You were never going to get that applause.
I know, but Simon, my school was in the middle of a big city, and we had a big sports field on top of the school, and that's where our playing grounds were.
Righto.
So, like, for us, on the sports field, the fence is only like 5 meters or so high, but on the ground, because it's 5 meters high plus another story, it was harder to get the ball back over the fence.
Makes it tricky.
So we had a couple of people who would try and just kick the soccer ball and it would just hit the fence and bounce back, and then they'd just give up. But if ever someone did it, I remember only a few passers-by managed to do it, and they got the loudest cheer ever. And I can just imagine them walking, going, yeah, look at me, bit of a ledge, kind of doing the old Conor McGregor strut.
Oh, yeah, getting an applause from a whole bunch of school kids is a good way to go about your day. But it's funny you bring up this scenario. So if you've ever been to Lobethal in the Adelaide Hills, my grandparents lived right next to the school, right? So the balls that were lost over the fence of the tennis court went into my very own grandparents' backyard. Right now,
do I sniff a sneaky business?
Okay.
All of a sudden, the sign went out the front of your grandfather's house. Tennis balls, $2 each.
Oh, you have no idea. So we've had members of my family on this show before.
I know we have. You have a very interesting... I would love to see that. Who do you think you are, that TV show?
So
I'd love to see Simo.
This is the other side of my family. Beryl and...
Why am I laughing at the name Beryl?
Auntie Beryl and, geez, oh, goodness.
Can you not remember the name?
No, for whatever. There's Bevan is his brother.
I mean,
goodness.
Simo, just say any random name. We're not going to check. Beryl and Fabian.
He might be listening. Anyway.
Morning, Fabian.
Right, so...
Simo's uncle, Fabian.
So my uncle, Russell.
Russell.
Pardon.
I prefer Fabian.
Okay, so he's gone out to pick up a soccer ball that's been kicked over a fence into his backyard. Now, he takes great pride in his backyard. I'm talking like vegetables, flowers. This thing was like not the lost city of gold, but it was the lost city of flora and fauna.
I'm not a gardener,
but
I don't think a soccer ball landing in the middle of your veggie patch is necessarily that good for the coriander or whatever you may be growing.
So he played the long game. He was like, well, the kids need to learn not to kick the ball over the fence, right?
I love them teaching them a lesson. Young whippersnappers.
So he's picked up the ball from the garden. Right, all the kids, like you say, are lined up along the fence. Like,
oh, so can they peer over and look into the backyard?
Yeah, they can see everything.
I see.
They can see the mecca of vegetable material, right?
Don't mess with the man's fauna and fungi.
Right, and he's picked up the ball, he's had a good hard look at it, and he's yelled back to the house, Beryl, get me a knife! A sharp one!
No, he destroyed the soccer ball!
But that was the best part, was that he specified that he needed a knife, but he needed a sharp one.
Get me a knife! Oh, what type of knife? Like a butter knife?
And
get me a sharp one!
And that has gone down in, like, the high school lore. Like, people still talk about that to this day. And that was probably, that was late 90s.
I'm shocked. I mean, that's one way to start war with high school kids who you do not want to mess with.
Yeah, Uncle Russell, he's in a home now for good reason. Niall Horan, this is nice to meet you.
Just the nurse just bringing the soccer ball every day.
Bring
here we
me
go.
A knife. I like the way you talk. Snow FM Breakfast, it's Simo and Jordan Wright here with you on a plus one on the line.
Simo, I'm very excited to have a chat to this girl. Samantha Jade joins us on the line. Samantha, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time.
Oh, no worries.
And you've been busy in September on the road. Congratulations with the Bounce single.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to finally be talking about it because, like, for me, I've had it since February. We wrote it in February, so it's nice to finally be on this end of it.
Hey, now, the new single is amazing. We can't get it out of our heads, but I want to take you back a couple of years. You toured with One Direction going all around Australia. What was that like? Can you give us a bit of insider gossip about what the guys are like?
Such an incredible experience. I have never heard louder screams in my entire life. Like, the girls were wild. They were the loudest audience I've ever heard. But it was really fun. It was a great experience. I mean, We were playing massive arenas, which is unbelievable. Like, it's a pretty incredible feeling when you walk out there. But, yeah, and it was pretty cool that I got to do it because it was actually just after that tour that they broke up.
Oh, so you just managed to get in before they broke up.
She's not the reason.
I'm not suggesting that that was the reason. It was the other band that was touring with them. They were the reason.
Before I broke them up.
So what kind of like numbers are we talking in the crowd? Are we talking like 10,000 or do you know roughly?
Oh my gosh, I'm not sure. I reckon maybe more. Like whatever the stadiums hold, they were literally like packed to the brim, like sold out. It was insane.
And speaking of other experiences, we have a bit of a guilty pleasure for Pitbull.
So do you... yes.
And so do you. So what can you tell us about getting involved in working with Pitbull?
Well, to be honest, it was studio magic. I never got to meet him. I recorded my part in LA and he was in Miami. I think he was on tour at the time. So he recorded his part in Miami, and then remember we did the video in I did my part of the video in Sydney and he did his part of the video in Miami. So it was one of those things. But he really liked the song. The feedback was that he really, really loved the song. He wants to jump on it. And I was like, sure, great.
Does Pitbull ever leave Miami? You just said he lives in Miami. He was on tour in Miami. Does he ever leave?
I don't think so. I think Miami's his place.
Here is Pitbull. You're on Snow FM. We're going to be back with Samantha Jade after this. It's 3 to Tango on Snow FM.
Olvídate los hoteles y vamos para los moteles de Calle 8.
Pitbull's 3 to Tango. You're on Snow FM and back talking to Samantha Jade.
Hey, you burst on to the scene in the 2012 season of The X Factor. You worked with Guy Sebastian. He was your mentor. After the show, do you still kind of stay in contact with Guy and the other judges, or is he just like, right, see you later, I'm off?
I'm off. Bye, guys. No, I definitely still keep in touch. I mean, Guy is a really close friend of mine, and Jules, his wife, is actually my best friend.
Oh, really?
And so I'm so lucky because they're such normal, great people. They've been in the industry for so long and are just so real. And so it's really, really nice to have people that kind of understand and get it and are just normal, you know, and they're like my big brother and big sister, really.
So in that case, would it be stepping over the line for you to recommend him to bring back the fro?
I'll see what I can do.
Yes, bring it back. Well, Bounce, you can hear it on Snow FM and all across the Capital Radio Network at the moment. Now, we do like to wrap up our interviews a little differently, Samantha.
Okay.
You're nervous, I can tell.
So we've prepped a quiz for you called To Bounce or Not To Bounce, right? If you get your questions right, you get this one. Right, and if I'm backing her to get all the questions right, so I haven't actually got a wrong sound effect.
So no pressure.
Oh, wow,
you have to get them right.
I'm backing her. All right, Jordan, you ready?
Let's do this, Simo.
Okay. In the game of basketball, when a player is called for travelling by a referee, what have they failed to do?
Oh, my God, I'm so bad at sports.
It's a 50-50 chance.
Well, I tell you what, do you want a hint? I mean, the quiz is called To Bounce or Not To Bounce. There is a ball involved in basketball, which does get bounced a fair bit. So has he...
Hasn't bounced the ball?
She's got it, number one. There it is.
Yay! Oh, gosh. I was just thinking, if I don't get this, my fiancé is going to kill me.
Oh, is he?
He's a massive basketball fan.
Well, good news. There's two more questions. Neither of them involve basketball. Okay. So
I'm backing up for 3 out of 3.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, here we go. In Australia's premium fish-throwing festival, Tunarama, the Tuna Toss event measures the distance competitors throw a 15-kilogram tuna. In the final measurement, is it taken from where the fish lands or where the fish bounces to?
Now, you mentioned you didn't know a heck of a lot about basketball. What is your fish-throwing knowledge like?
I know so much more about tuna throwing.
Wonderful!
Okay.
This is going to be your special subject if you go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something. Fish-throwing, got this.
Totally. Imagine how random I see all this stuff about fish-throwing.
Just imagine, if you do go on that show, just imagine Eddie's face.
Not where it bounces, so you're going from where it lands.
Where it lands.
She's good.
There you go, 2 out of 2.
She's very good.
Guys! Wow.
Before you release a song called Bounce, do you have to study all various bounces around the world of all various objects?
That's right. That's what I've been doing all week.
Well, you said you wrote the song in February, so is that what you've been doing for the last 6 months, just studying
bounces?
Giving
me bounce? A lot of time, exactly.
All right, the final question. This is for the clean sweep.
Three in a row.
I've gone all nervous.
I know, I have too.
All right.
I'm nervous too, okay.
James Roumeliotis achieved a Guinness World Record for the longest time spent on a pogo stick, bouncing 20 hours and 13 minutes, totaling how many bounces?
Look, this is going to be a tricky one.
Oh my gosh, that is a broad question.
All right, here's a clue. Your song has already streamed more times than than he bounced on the pogo stick.
Oh, God, I don't even know how many times it's been streamed.
I'll give you a close. Okay. It's really close to 200,000.
Okay, I'm going to go 100,000.
It's really close to 200,000.
100,000 is not really close to 200,000.
Oh, I thought it was way less. Okay.
It's really, really close to 200,000.
199,000.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, we'll take it.
It's 200,000, over 200,000 times.
Oh, it actually...
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, guys, I was not getting that hint.
Samantha Jade, we're loving the new single, Bounce, and hope you go from strength to strength. Thanks for joining us this morning on Snow FM Breakfast.
Thank you, guys.
Freya Ridings, new music on Snow FM Breakfast. It's Simo and Jordan hanging out, 21 minutes on the way to 9.
And Simo, we're talking cricket.
Yes.
Not a topic which normally gets a bit of a run on Snow FM Breakfast, but we thought when we saw this story, we'd make a bit of an exception.
You know, I tried to, it's funny you should mention cricket, because I once tried to explain the rules of cricket to a pianist, and cricket is very convoluted.
It really is.
Like, there's a lot of dumb names for positions on the field and a lot of dumb names for swinging the bat.
You don't realise how weird and convoluted it is until you try and explain it.
All right. It's like, for instance, the slip, the keeper and the silly point. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cover drive, a pull, a sweep. All of those have not necessarily anything to do with each other.
Yep. That's right.
So, well done, cricket. They should probably add that to the tests in year 12 when you graduate.
Is that on the Australian citizenship test?
Probably should
By
be.
The way, how many stars are on the Australian flag and can you describe the LBW rule?
Well, that would be one way to fix immigration.
Whoa.
Whoa.
All right.
Dark days.
New broadcast to Canberra, Simo. You're heading for a political career, are you?
Now available on DAB Digital Radio in Canberra.
Well, Simo, the reason we bring up cricket is because I'm a bit of a cricket nerd.
Right.
And an Australian test match cricketer was injured in a very weird way the other day. In fact, he was injured. He's actually in doubt for playing the first test match of the summer.
Oh.
Which is a bit of a serious injury.
Okay.
The way he was injured happened off the field. It was nothing to do with the match in general. Actually, no, it was a bit to do with the match in general. So what he did is he had just been dismissed. He was not happy. And he came off the field into the change room and punched the wall.
Right.
Not sure what the wall did to deserve it. I believe it was just the first thing there that was punchable.
Who was the cricketer?
The cricketer was Mitch Marsh.
Oh, yeah.
He was a bit of an all-rounder. He's quite tall.
I reckon he's like 6'4".
Tall and muscly, yeah.
Yeah.
So he came off, punched the wall, actually broke his hand punching the wall, and that is the reason that he is potentially out of the first little bit of the summer. How tall is he? You've just Googled him.
He's 1 metre and 93 centimetres.
So what's that in feet?
That's big.
That's,
6'4".
Are you all right?
So he's been told his whole life to pick on someone his own size, hasn't found anyone, and he's like, well, there's no one left.
Well, no, that...
I'll have the wall.
I mean, that insinuates that there is no one in the world who is 6'4 or taller.
That's a big
Because there are
point.
A lot. Have you ever heard of the sport basketball, Simo?
I have.
6'4 is very short.
Yeah, but I don't know. Next in the octagon, cricketer versus basketballer.
Get that going. No, but Simo, this isn't the first time that a sports person has been injured in a bit of a weird way.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with Scott Bolton?
No.
Fair enough. You're not a rugby league fan. So he is a rugby league player who was actually injured a couple of years ago. He was fishing, and the hook got caught in his finger.
Oh, extreme fishing.
Cut his finger. Well, it wasn't extreme. It was just a bit silly.
Like, if you nearly lose a thumb, it's extreme.
So he cut his finger open and was out for 7 weeks of the season. 7 weeks.
Ouch.
It's a long time. Not quite as bad as also another NRL player, Dave Taylor, who was injured falling out of bed.
Oh, yeah. Rolled over the wrong way.
Mm. The other codes of football aren't too good either.
I mean, was he one of the bigger rugby ones or was he one of the thinner, quicker ones?
Oh, I got to be honest, I have no idea.
Because if he's a bigger guy, you'd hope, like, single bed. If it's a smaller bed, he's going to have issues, right? Double beds for rugby players only.
And, like, those, you know, the top bunk bed has, like, little walls on the side. Dude. We need those for all rugby league players. AFL, the other football code, doesn't escape this.
Oh.
Nat Fyfe plays for Fremantle. He was injured a couple of years ago. He was actually pulled out just a couple of hours before a game.
But he's a bit of an odd dude, I think.
He was injured. Is he?
Yeah, he's, like, a bit of a kind of chiller. Like, surfer dude, long hair.
Just because he surfs doesn't mean he's odd. Just because you don't surf.
No, he's just a bit of a chiller, is what I reckon.
Fair enough. He was actually withdrawn from a game just a few hours beforehand.
Okay.
He was injured, and then after the match, we revealed what the injury was, and he'd actually slipped on a suitcase at the team hotel.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know how you do that either.
Like, unless it was like a swamp of suitcases, like he'd come through the hotel doors, right? And then, what are they called? The ones that walk around with the tray and they've got all the suitcases on?
Ushers?
Yeah, like the usher kind of dudes.
Yeah.
Someone.
Oh, the lobby boy. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, one of them.
The lobbyist, maybe?
I don't know. Whatever his job description is, whatever his job title is, that guy.
That guy, he's dropped a whole bunch of suitcases and then maybe he's trying to, like, maneuver his way over a whole bunch of suitcases. Makes that a little bit more plausible, I feel.
The Manuel from Fawlty Towers.
Because
that role.
Nat Fyfe, he'd be like, well, look at all these suitcases here. I wait for no man or suitcase.
You know what they do? You know, like in the army, they've got all the big tires that they put on the ground and you have to jump in between them?
Yep.
Maybe that was just their intensive warm-up, but they're like, oh, no, we left all the tires in Perth. Oh, well, just get the suitcases and just make, like, donut shapes and we'll just hop in between them.
That'll do.
Maybe that's how we did it, unconfirmed, but that is not the weirdest injury. I think the weirdest injury goes to Mike Richardson, who was an AFL player back in the 80s.
Whoa, taking us back.
Back in the 80s, all these players had to have other jobs outside of football because there wasn't enough money to support themselves.
Yeah, people were harder, right, in the 80s?
Yeah, so there's a lot with tradies, teachers, whatever.
Worked in coal mines.
Whatever they were. Mike Richardson had a job at a Sea Life Centre.
Okay.
This is up in Brisbane, so one of the ones up there.
Right.
He was one of the people who fed the sharks.
Oh, yeah.
You can probably see where this is going.
He was
doing a live feeding demonstration in front of an audience, dangling the fish Steve Irwin style for the shark. When the shark came up and said, I'll have the fish.
I'll have a piece of that.
And I'll have a chunk of your hand too.
Yeah, fair call.
He got his hand bitten by a 2.5-metre grey nurse shark. Fortunately, though, the shark unbit, whatever the word is.
Released him.
That would probably be better than unbit.
Yeah.
He just had a few scratches. He had a couple of weeks off and then was back.
All right.
But that is surely the weirdest injury ever sports. He was bitten by a shark, Simo.
It's a bit of a weird one. That's one of those jobs that I don't think... Do you reckon anyone's ever applied for?
What, footballer?
It? No, applied to be a shark feeder.
Like, I reckon that would be fun, provided you've got quick hands.
Like, but it would be one of those ones that it was a promotion that you didn't know about. You're like, yes, I'm getting a promotion. This is what you're doing. I book myself tape.